This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk, and I'm here with James Ball, who is the Executive Director of the Armed Forces Equine Charity. James, it's such a pleasure to have you here on the show.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
And last night you had such a marvelous event where you gathered together people to recognize this beautiful charity that gives hope and inspiration to people who were in the armed forces who might have PTSD or other struggles that they're dealing with, and it relates to horses. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yes, so the dinner was at the Saddler's Livery Hall, a great place for us as an equine charity to hold a dinner. We had 130 guests who really were just informing them of what we're up and doing at the moment, which is, you've hit it on the head already, we use horses to help people. Never have been an equestrian, but I have served in the British military for 37 years, and I've seen what it's done for servicemen around the world, globally, American servicemen, as well as a British serviceman, European servicemen, NATO servicemen, and those who are struggling with anxiety and stress. The horse doesn't judge you. The horse doesn't make any criticisms of you. The horse is about connecting with the horse. And to connect with the horse, if I tap my leg to my dog will come to me. If I tap my leg to a horse, it'll run away. You've got to make that connection. So you've got to get rid of the anxiety and stress that's in your body to make the connection. And that is the turning point at which the therapy, recovery, and rehabilitation can start happening.
And you had a woman there that was recognized in part of your awards for the charity, the lovely red hair from Scotland. She and I talked a little bit. She had such an inspiring story of how her life was transformed. Can you tell us a little bit about her and how this charity had an impact on her life and what she's done?
So it's a sad story, but it's a good story. So her husband, Alan, was referred to us by the National Health System. He had tried to take his own life, a serviceman struggling to deal with what he had experienced. He'd never met horses before. He came to us with completely grey, completely shut off, and after a week with us, he had fundamentally changed. At the time, I hadn't met Jenny, the lady you met. I hadn't realised, of course, that PTSD gets into the family a bit like everything does, and she was suicidal as well. And she saw a change in her husband, which gave her hope. Obviously, Alan's recovery was going really, really well. But Jenny and Alan's connection with horses helped. But more than that, Jenny continues to bake cakes, to get up every day, to go to our cafe, where most of our beneficiaries we help go. And she talks to them. And she was, without doubt, when I went to the trustees and said, look, this has to be our winner in 2022, 2023, it was unanimous. She is a very special lady. And we encourage the most senior military person who's from Scotland, to come and present that award. One of those people in life just gives more than they take. Fantastic lady.
And we'll have a page for you on Salesport Talk. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Certainly appreciate it.
Thank you very much indeed. It's a pleasure.
This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk, and I have the privilege of being here with the Rear Commodore of the Royal Thames Yacht Club, John Redding.
Hello. Rear Commodore Sailing, actually.
That's right, because your club has three Rear Commodores, which is unusual for clubs in the United States, but has been that way for almost how many years?
Well, the club was started in 1775. I don't think you can go back to that age, but certainly within living memory, we've had a Vice Commodore who is the big cheese, and then the three Rear Commodores who are House and Finance, Membership, and Sailing. That's me.
And you got into sailing and joined the Royal Thames Yacht Club because of team racing, is that right?
Team racing, yes. For those of you who don't know, if you see yachts racing out on the water, or little dinghies racing out on the water, you normally assume that the one in the lead is winning the race. But team racing, you have three or two boats from a club racing against three or two boats from another club, so hence team racing. In the States, you are more likely to be racing three on three, and over here in England, you are more likely to be racing two on two, but we both do both in both countries.
So tell us a little bit about the new fleet of boats that you are going to be adding to the Royal Thames Yacht Club, which is very exciting for all of the racers, and how many people sail on that boat and how it works.
Yes, the Royal Thames is very excited that we had a fleet of rather aging J80s. For those of you who understand what I mean, they are 8-metre little, well, not so little, keelboats. But they were getting a bit long in the tooth. So a couple of years ago, the club made a fairly momentous decision and put in an order for 12 new sonars. And sonars are 21-foot keelboat, main, jib and spinnaker, so that's the three sails, and they will be raced, or they are normally raced, by four people. So in a race of 2-on-2, we need 8 people from the club, and obviously 3-on-3, 12 from the club. And having 12 boats, it gives us the flexibility for 3 lots of 4 or 2 lots of 6 racing at the same time.
Do you have a diverse group of sailors as far as age and gender?
So the Royal Thames set about becoming probably the UK's leading team racing club because it recognised that this was a way to attract young members into the club. It's quite normally the case that universities race 3-on-3, so they team race, and universities are quite used to travelling between universities, and each university will have a fleet of its own boats. So you're not having to drag a boat around the country. You go and sail at the other university using their boats. Now, if like me, they leave university at the age of 21, 22, and are desperate to not give up this wonderful sport that they probably had not come across until they went to university, then here was their opportunity. Many graduates leave university, they come work in London, and we've welcomed them into the Royal Thames with some very, very competitive membership fees for the young. They do go up fairly quickly as they get older and hopefully more successful. But there was a way to continue their favourite sport by joining in with our club and racing in our J80s, but now soon to be racing in our new sonars.
Tell us a little bit about the sailing environment, the wind, currents, tides in your sailing area.
Right. Well, the sonars will be sailed at a big reservoir called Queen Mary Reservoir, Queen Mary Sailing Club. Now, not many of you will probably know where that is, but you will probably all know where Heathrow Airport is, and it's a stone's throw from there. In fact, as you sail around between the races and perhaps not concentrating so much, we see the planes landing and taking off. Being a reservoir, it's inland water, but it's raised, I'm just trying to think, it probably 50 or 60 feet above the ambient level of the ground around it. So the wind tends to be not too bad normally. If the level of the reservoir drops a bit and we've then got rather nasty concrete sides around us, it can get a little shifty. But it's the same shifts for everybody, and it's amazing how the good teams seem to cope with the shifts better than the not-so-good teams.
That's a little bit of the sport.
That is indeed, and there are many of us who sail on rivers, and obviously they are considerably shiftier, and other inland waters. So Queen Mary Sailing Club has always prized itself as being the best sea sailing in London.
Well, I am Karen Lyle, and I'm here on SailSport Talk on Sports Byline, broadcasting to 100 million people in 168 countries, including the Armed Forces. Privileged to be speaking with Rear Commodore of Sailing of the Royal Thames Yacht Club, John Redding. And John, tell us a little bit about the upcoming anniversary you have and what day the public might be able to plan ahead for.
Right. Well, 1775, the club can take its history back to, and that was the year when the Duke of Cumberland, who I think at the time was the king's brother, decided to get a group of his wealthy aristocrats to sail together and race against each other on the Thames, 1775. So if you're quick at your maths, you realise that 2025 is our 250th anniversary, which is a big milestone in anybody's reckoning. We've got a raft of events coming up, parties galore. But our big sailing spectacle, certainly here in London, is going to be the pageant at the end of June 2025. We are hoping that many of our members will bring their yachts around from the south coast. They'll sail them up the Thames and arrive just by the Tower Bridge, which, again, you probably, many of you will have seen pictures of. And the yachts will then go through that Tower Bridge. They'll parade around in the basin beyond the Tower Bridge and then go back again down to the old Naval Academy at Greenwich. So if any of you are around London on the 28th, 29th of June, I can't be specific with the dates because it's clearly slightly wind and, well, so wind dependent in conjunction with tides, but it will be on one of those days, and we are hoping for a great spectacle right in the heart of London, or right in the heart of the city of London, which is the financial centre.
Well, and what a marvellous accomplishment. I think that the Royal Thames Yacht Club is the oldest continuing yacht club in the world. Is that correct?
We do like to pride ourselves that we are the oldest continuing yacht club. There's certainly clubs who have had their 300th anniversary, but I think they've had breaks in their continuity where we have, fortunately, been able to keep ourselves going through thick and thin, certainly two world wars, the Crimea as well. So at some fairly tough times, but the club, which started as the Cumberland Fleet, as it was called, morphed into the Royal Thames Yacht Club and is still, luckily, going very strong.
And is certainly known the world throughout, and with many reciprocal clubs that you race against and that come and race for you. Against you, I guess it would be.
Indeed. One of our great prides is our reciprocal club, which is the worst expression, book, I suppose. And we enjoy very much our relations with our reciprocal clubs, the New York Yacht Club, Swanica, San Francisco, name a few of the American clubs. And members enjoy going out to these clubs. They will perhaps race with other club members there. Or, and I bring it back to this team racing, we can send a team of 8, 12 people out to race against the same number over there. And, of course, it engenders huge friendships. As an example, I'm going myself to Sweden at the end of May, and there are two American teams who will be competing in Stockholm. And certainly I know a lot of the guys who will, well, the guys and ladies who will be sailing at that event. And I like to consider that they are now good friends because I've met them at this event for 2, 3, 4 times. And team racing just brings that friendship on.
Tell me how you got started in team racing and what really turned it into a passion for you.
Yes, well, like probably many of the young, I went to university and had never team raced, and there was my university, Nottingham, which was scheduled to race against some other university, I can't remember the first one, and we had some trials, and I took to it, I think the expression, like a duck to water, and raced through my university years, and at the end of it, I really could not abide the idea of giving up this wonderful sport. So I set about creating a ex-university club called Nottingham Outlaws. No prizes there for originality, but it seemed to work. And that kept me going through the years for probably far too long. But eventually I did give up. Age did weary this particular soul, because in those days I was sailing dinghies, and the young, quite rightly, got better than me. So it was time to move on.
Well, and now keelboats for you.
So 10 years ago, yes, 10 years ago, I had the opportunity to join the Royal Thames, and unashamedly, I knew that they were very active in the team of the race, the sport of team racing. And so I joined really predominantly for that reason. It's been fantastic because I have met so many of the members of my age who have continued to team race. younger members and, of course, many of the young members who I now enjoy team racing with and will be team racing with in Stockholm and other venues which are coming up later in the year. There's always a clamour for places at these events, particularly if they involve sunshine and or just good fun. And so they're, the places are hard to come by, but that's great because if they're competitive, people team race better.
Well, and you've also been instructing, and so sharing the joy of sailing with many, many, many others.
I have done a little bit. Well, it's a reasonable amount of instructing. I instructed as a young man at a sailing school, and then as an older a father, I got involved in a sailing club up in North Wales, where my wife and I have a house, and for my sins, I was put on to the OPI teaching course. Now, luckily, I am of a size that I can still get into an OPI, which was fine, because actually, if you can get the young children, 8 or 9, to follow you, I think they learn much quicker than having someone shouting at them, saying, pull this rope this way or push the stick that way. And it worked very well. Now, upwind, my technique enabled me to keep ahead of them. Downwind, for those of you who do sail, it was a little trickier because I was somewhat heavier than they were and they tended to overtake me. But that was great fun. Many years doing that, and I wouldn't have missed it for the world, to be honest. It was great fun.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate you sharing your passion for sailing and having the opportunity to feature the Royal Thames Yacht Club, who started that whole yacht club scene for us.
Absolutely. 1775. For those of you who are in London, come and see us. We are right next to the Mandarin Oriental Hotel in Knightsbridge. So very close to Harrods.
Thank you.